Okay. We're continuing in the Gemara, Daf Nun Hei Amud Bet, and Masechet Shabbat, where Rav Kook talks about the Avot, most particularly Moshe and Aaron, and did they sin? It's a machloket, whether they sinned at all. According to the literal pshat, it seems that they did sin, at Meimariva. And the Gemara continues, Shneamar Yan Lo He'emantim Pi. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, you are going to be punished and die and not enter the land of Israel because you did not believe in me. We spoke about that last time, some of the 13 different explanations. Ha He'emantim Pi. So we see that if Moshe and Aaron would have believed in Hashem, Lo Yigiyaz Manchem Lipater Min HaOlam, their time for dying, their time of death, would not have come. In other words, you could deduce a couple of things. Number one, that they sinned, and that's why they die. And number two, according to this opinion, even if they would not have sinned, they would have died. And this goes according to the opinion that we saw previously in the Gemara, that says that after Adam and Chava, after the sin in the Garden of Eden, everyone has to die. And the Gemara is going to go on and talk about Yishai and Binyamin and four people who never sinned, and nevertheless they died. So that seems to be the mainstream opinion. Okay, Rav Kook in Piska, paragraph Aleph. We're in Perek Hei, Piska Lametet, for those who have the book. Hachiluf b'ma'amadim v'tzurot shel ha'chayim. The change in the types of life, right? Rav Kook here is going out of his way to stress that there are a lot of different types of life. The fact that we are in this world does not mean that the life of the womb is not life, right? We mentioned, I think, last time, Rav Sadia Gaon talks about the twins who are talking in the womb about the next world, and one says, I heard that there's a world outside that you don't eat through your navel, you eat through the mouth. And his roommate, his brother answers him. He says, what do you mean? Have you been there? How do you know that it's such, nobody's been there and it's come back to the womb? He says, no, and I hear there that we use these hands and feet. His roommate says, what do you mean? Hands and feet are meant to be mikupal, folded up, etc., etc. So there's the, when a person dies to the life of the womb, he's born into this world. And when he dies in this world, he's born into the world to come. That's the third world. And we're going to talk also about after the world to come, the Olam HaNeshamot, the world of the souls. So there is Triyat HaMetim. So basically there are four worlds. And Rav Kook says...
That was the Gemara? That was the Gemara that you just quoted? From Sadia Gaon?
No, that's from Sadia Gaon. Where? I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Achiluv v'ma'amadim v'tzurot shel ha'chayim. So the change of the statuses in the different types of life, ra'ui lahakir b'tor hashlama tova ve'etzem tivo shel tzivyon ha'chayim hamle'im. The reason, and we saw this two paragraphs ago in Rav Kook, he says that man, since the sin, since we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, we need to die because we cannot achieve that higher level that's necessary to get into Triyat HaMetim without going to the Olam HaNeshamot, without going into the world of the souls without a body. And so it's not something to be scared of, especially if you don't sin, as we'll see. But in other words, death itself is not something to be scared of. It's something good. Hashlama tova. It's to mashlim, to complete things that we can't do in this world. In this world, we only have 24, 7, 3, 54 on the lunar calendar. And Yemeshno Tenu Shivim Shana, Vimbig World Shmonim Shana, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, right? But in the end, we are limited. And there are certain things that you just can't do. in this world. We all know that, so you can't learn Torah all day. You got to go to sleep, you have to rest, you have to work, you have to... There are a lot of things that are built into our world. And as soon as something is limited, so that arrow that Rav Kook always talks about, that we've learned in Orot HaTshuva, with the arrow at the top, it's constantly going up. But there are certain levels that we cannot achieve in this world. So we need the next world, so we need to die. Al ken, achilufim ben olam la'olam, the change from, or transition from one world to the next, bein ma'amad chayim garua upachot be'erko. Here Rav Kook, when he says the garua, he doesn't mean bad. No life is bad, as Rav Kook writes thousands of times, but comparatively, right? This world is comparatively worse than the world to come. Just like the world of the womb is comparatively worse than this world, right? I don't think anybody would want to go back there. So it's just a question of comparison. Upachot, this world, yeah, it is objectively less. L'ma'amad shelachayim elyon v'nizgav na'alad v'na'ala mimenu. And things, even if, as we're going to see, as we always learn, that there are ups and downs on the way, the general direction is always up. And the same thing with the Geula process that we spoke about when we learned Orot HaMilchama, that in the process of redemption, which we are clearly on, and as we saw from the sources, there is not going to be another exile, we see there's a war with Hamas, so there are ups and downs on the way, but the general direction is clearly up. The same thing with the worlds to come. The general direction is always up. There may be, as we'll see, ups and downs on the way. But if a person doesn't sin, he doesn't need any downs. And he is just going up and up. And it's a one-way street, Bikitsur. Ru'uyim liyot holchim b'shalshelet ha'chayim tamid b'tzdadehem hayoter me'ulim. The key word here is shalshelet ha'chayim. This is a Kabbalistic term where when God created the world, he made a chain of... I once saw Rav Arya Kaplan uses a nice example of in electricity. There is a transformator. What do you say in English?
Transformer.
Yeah, I knew that it was a little different. That when you have a 110 volt machshir
appliance,
and you plug it into a 220 volt electricity, it just might explode, right? And we actually once did that with one of our wedding presents, and I don't know who from America gives an American wedding present to somebody who lives in Israel. Anyway, the kids, so you need a transformer, a step-down mechanism. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, and that's what the beautiful thing about Kabbalah, and that's our topic today, you need a step-up mechanism when we're climbing back up. So all of life is a step-up mechanism, right? That you go through school, and then you go to yeshiva, and then you get married, and then you're a child, you become that fatherly, godly figure, just like God, you begin to understand the feminine aspect of the world, and you begin to understand what it means to be. You begin to understand Hashem and how the world runs, and that is a step-up mechanism. And so that's the term, the Kabbalistic term of shalshelet. Hayoter me'ulim, and we climb, constantly climbing to higher levels of life. Ki amida shel ma'amad echad, because to stay in the same level without advancing, v'tochen echad, with the same content, pratib, in one specific content, without advancing, but malacha hitalut, in the process of maturing, in the process of ascension. There's an interesting term. Rav Kook, like all authors who write a lot, there are certain places where they mamash use the term, they pinpoint the term in a very precise way. Here Rav Kook is doing. It's an idea that we've learned many times together. The idea of mahalacha hit'alut, the process of advancing. She'in lasof. There is, as we always say, that arrow at the top. Because Hashem is perfect, and man is never going to be perfect. So man, as much as we advance, there's always more room for advance. And even if you get to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, so in the next world you'll advance that much more. And in Tchiyat HaMetim that much more. And you'll never get to the level of God. And that, so if a person, and we've probably all heard people, you ever hear somebody who says, you know, I like being middle of the road, you know, mediocre. I don't know if you'd say mediocre, but, you know, when it comes to his business, he would say, I like, you know, being mediocre. Or, you know, when it comes to being a Jew or Torah observance, right? We've all heard this at different people, you know, I'm okay, I'll just do the minimum, you know, to get into world to, I don't need a big share in the world to come, you know. Or in other words, I like to be mediocre. And Rav Kook is saying, no, you can't. There's no such thing as staying in one spot. And as we mentioned this, I heard from my Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim, Rav Shlomo Riskin. I heard this, I think, in 10th grade. It made a very strong impression. That was, more than 40 years ago. He said beautifully on the mitzvah, lo ta'ale b'malot l'mizbechi, that there's an iser d'oraita to have steps going up to the mizbeach at the end of Parshat Mishpatim. And he explained, because...
At the end of Yitro, yeah.
Sorry?
At the end of Parshat Yitro,
right. Toda. Yeah, right before the beginning of Mishpatim. So the idea is that it's a ramp. And if you're not going up, you're going to slide down. There's no such thing as staying in the same place. And that's a very important concept, and we all know it from life. Anybody who ever, Chalila, broke their arm? I never broke a limb, but I couldn't use my right hand. I got it all ripped up with a nail. And after, it was the first night at camp, and we were playing rafter basketball, and I jumped up to dunk a tennis ball, and there was a nail on top of the rafter. I was like hanging there, and I can't believe it now, but I remember asking the doctor, they brought me to the doctor to stitch me up, and I remember asking him, when will I be able to play basketball? Yeah. that's what I had in my mind. So he said, maybe by the end of the month. And at the end of the month, there was a big game between, I was in Machach, and we were playing, maybe it was the Madrichim, I don't remember. And I was considered good, and everyone was asking, can you play? And I said, yeah, I'll try. And the doctors finally gave me the go-ahead. And at the beginning of the game, I got the ball, and I drove, and I was fouled. So I went to the foul line, the free throw line, and my first shot in 4 weeks, and it just plopped, like after a meter, it just fell, the ball. And, you know, because if you don't use a muscle, you don't use it, you lose it. And we know the same thing about muscles, the same thing with memory, the same thing with, that's how Hashem created the world. And again, now we understand why. As we mentioned many times, the Zohar says that the physical world is to help us understand the metaphysical world. And the idea is if you're not going up, you're going to be sliding down. Right? There's no such thing as staying the same. This is important to stress too. I've seen this by young adults, you know, adolescents. You know, they say, you know, I'll wear a kippah, but, you know, I'll be lenient on this and lenient on that. And as soon as... That's what's called a slippery slope. You know, as soon as you start being lenient on this and that, you know, and so you don't go to Mincha, and then you don't go to Shacharit, and then, we all know the slippery slope. Bekitzur, so it's the same thing, again, with going up. Lo tucha la'olam le'chashev la'atzlacha. A person cannot be considered a success unless he is constantly advancing. And that's, again, why we need the world to come. Paragraph bet. Avobilokilkul shel ezechet. Now, if a person does not sin, again, there were a couple of individuals who did not sin. Yezeh ha'ma'avar kulo na'a u'mekubal. It's an interesting term that the Gemara says that in Veya Geffen, bin Veya Geffen, you have a good shidduch between two good families. Davar na'e umit kabel. So Rav Kook is using that term poetically here, that death is beautiful and acceptable, and there's mamash no problem, because if you don't sin, you don't need those ups and downs on the way. Be'in shum pega v'tzad yirida v'achshacha. There's no need for darkness. There's no need for fallings. L'shum tzad mitzdadeh chayim, on any topic. In other words, that's not us. And that's why we have all these challenges. And that's why we have what Rav Soloveitchik calls li'ya'edet ha'goral. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a fate, and we have to destine the fate. Right? That's all of us. But theoretically, if we wouldn't sin and we're just constantly rising, so then we wouldn't need those ups and downs. We wouldn't need those challenges. Lo apnimim velo achitzonim. Not internal challenges with questions and grappling. How do I know there's a God? And why do bad things happen to good people? You don't have to grapple because you're a good person and bad things aren't happening to you. And the same thing with parnasa, right? And the marriage and children and all these things. This is the world that we know it simply because we sinned, our great-great-grandmothers, and we sin and we make these mistakes. But a person who doesn't fall, he doesn't fall. He doesn't need that. It's constant. Again, what was that beautiful term? Malacha hit'alut. That constant process of going up. Shel chofesh uptur. This is the chorus, the pizmon of tonight's paragraph. And I think Rav Kook uses it three times. That death is chofesh and ptur. Literally, a vacation and exemption. Now, this is Rav Kook's opinion in the Masechet Nida. There's a famous machloket. And Rav Kook takes a stance on this, that he believes, and apparently it's a Kabbalistic approach, that mitzvot, we will not need mitzvot in the world to come. Maybe even after Mashiach, we won't need mitzvot. Just like Avraham Avinu didn't need mitzvot. Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava, they didn't need mitzvot. They had the Garden of Eden. The idea was to be able to grow without having to learn Torah day and night, and without having to daven three times a day, and without all those do's and don't do's, and the 365 don'ts and the 248 do's. And I just saw today that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, you know, the Mishnah Berurah, he says Ramachay Rabbeinu Sagidav, and for women, the Ashkenazim say for Kol Evrayim the Chol Gideyim. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu doesn't say kol, he says 252. I don't know where he gets that. Maybe Sephardic women are made a little different. But
Adam and Chava had one mitzvah, and they goofed it.
Nachon. And in the world to come, apparently we're not going to need any mitzvot. Right? The Rambam in his Guide for the Perplexed, he elaborates on that they really, like you said, they only had one mitzvah, and they goofed it, and after that fall, we are constantly rising, but most of us, or all of us, we need those ups and downs, those challenges, and we need the mitzvot. But it's interesting, Rav Kook says, you know, some people who feel stinted by the mitzvot, and this is important, you know, sometimes to point out to teenagers. It depends on the kid, but you could point out Rav Kook also sometimes felt stinted by mitzvot. He wanted to fly. And, you know, if you have to wake up for davening, and you have to daven shachrit by a certain time, and you have to wear certain things, and you can't wear other things, you have to say certain things, you can't say other things, you have to eat certain things, you can't, you know. Rav Kook, for example, he didn't like eating. And we know this from his students, he Davka was one of those Kabbalists who knew how to raise the sparks of food. And but nevertheless, he just didn't want to waste time. And there's a famous story of He was talking and learning with his father-in-law, the Aderet. His name was Avram David. And he was talking and learning. And Rav Kook's wife, the Aderet's daughter, came to bring them breakfast. They used to bring him hot milk. That was like a big thing in those days. Not everybody had milk. And they used to bring him hot milk. And he didn't touch it. It was getting cold. And they warmed it up. And Bekitzor, so his wife said, when are you going to eat your breakfast? So people who know the Shulchan Aruch, when you're talking Shulchan Aruch, you have the Taz, who's called the Magin David. Now on the other side, the Magin Avraham. And so the Aderet is David, and Rav Kook is Avraham. And he made a play on words that in Yiddish, stomach, I think, is Morgan. No. Maybe breakfast is Morgan, I know, is morning. Anyway, he said something about the Morgan David and Morgan Avraham don't need to eat. Okay. Ah, I have to add that. I have a long list of like 20 jokes that Rav Kook had a great sense of humor. And I should add that onto the list. If you remember, can you send me a WhatsApp to write that, add that to the list?
Sure, we can publish
I actually asked Rav Aviner about that.
Yeah.
You know what? Because Rav Aviner has a great sense of humor. And I asked him, I thought if anybody could give me a good answer, it was him. And I asked him, what's your opinion of writing an article on Rav Kook's sense of humor? And he said, if it's part of a whole book, and you have like one chapter on that, you know, so that's good. But don't just write one article, you know, it'll be taken out of context, you know. But that is a good answer. So I guess maybe on Purim, you know, remind me next Purim, I'll go through the list and... Rav Kook really had a good sense of humor. Okay, Shel Simcha Shel Chofesh Uptur. Anyway, a lot of people are looking forward to vacation, and Rav Kook is saying the world to come is vacation, and people are looking for exemptions. And Rav Kook is saying that's a world of exemptions. Imagine telling kids, you know, you look forward to the world to come. You'll have a lot of vacation, a lot of exemptions. Just got to work a little to get there, right? But shel ol shel kvar milei et chovato. But somebody who doesn't have those fallings, those sins, he has finished his yoke. He's finished what he needs. And when he passes on to the world to come, he is not sad. And the world also shouldn't be sad. Now, the world obviously is sad. Your family is sad because you're going to miss him. But as far as he's concerned, he's happy. There's, I think it's also in the Rav Sadia gives the example of a father. Remember that when you're driving with the family and one of the kids falls asleep in the back seat, and you pick him up and you transfer him to his bed. You know, it's like one of those peaceful father moments. That
10 minutes later they're awake.
Well,
10 minutes later they wake up.
Yeah, but that's how I think it's Rasadi Gon. Also, that's how he explains the transferring of this world to the world to come. It's a very pleasant transferring. It's like a father transferring you from one place to your bed. Ve'az enenu klal ne'erach l'mita. Right? Again, if a person doesn't sin, if he doesn't have those falls and challenges, so he doesn't need those challenges, and he doesn't have to prepare for it. Lo mitzad pnimiyuta chayim v'lo mitzad chitzoniyutam. Again, not spiritual, not physical. Ki im patur min ha'olam. Remember mitat neshika, those who died through a kissing, that Moshe Rabbeinu, and after he saw Aaron, had this the kiss of death. But it was a kiss. It was a pleasant experience. Miriam had it also. Because I'll say that using kissing women wouldn't fit into the Midrash so properly. So it's not mentioned there. But Miriam also had it. Ki impatur. Somebody who wants to say something, you want to add it to the chat? Oh, you know what, our chat, I don't want to get out of this. Put it in and we'll get to it later. But in the meantime, but please mute yourself. Ki patur mina olam azivat ha'ol, again, leaving the yoke, this world has yokes. The yoke of mitzvot. The yoke, even if it's a pleasant yoke, it's a yoke, right? Rav Kook is realistic. It's interesting that the controversial book that the Ramat Gan put out called Bichadarav, that was recently translated to English, and a lot of people thought that it wasn't right to publish the personal aspects of Rav Kook's spiritual diary. But once it's been published, you know, and you want to see Rav Kook talk about himself, you see that it's not uncommon for Rav Kook to complain about the yokes of this world, including the halachic yokes. He wants to fly. He wants to be with Hashem, like we're going to be with Hashem in the world to come. But he already wants to have that in this world. Shel'ela matzavim shebemin achayim shekvar asuet pulatam b'shleimutam. Again, once you get to that stage, you don't need it. And you're ready to transfer to the next world. And paragraph Gimel. Alken. Lo chalifat hamatzav hi titztarech el hachet. By the way, for those who are looking in the book, just so you should know, almost every time that you have a ayin kaf alken, that's where I put a new paragraph. So if you want to find the number of paragraphs, just look for the alken. Or umnam. Umnam, on the other hand. Yeah, so. Alken, lo chalifat hamatzav hi titztarech el hachet. In other words, the necessity for changing worlds does not need sin. In other words, the ups and downs in this world, that is a outcome of our falling, right? Again, we fall, so we fall. And we have challenges. Falling and challenges, it's falling. It's the same thing. But somebody who doesn't have those, right, he's going to need to die anyway. Ki im ota chalifa mityacheset be'ezo ofen l'shem mita, ha-he'emantem, that's what Hashem is telling Moshe and Aaron, if you would have believed in me, he'emante bi, adayin lo igyaz manchem lipater min ha'olam. But you would have died eventually. Because everybody dies. Because we need that change of scenery. We need that aliyah. Ubahaga'at hazman, to die, when the time to come, right, again, Hashem is telling them, you want to die now, but your time to come would have come, so when that time to come comes, kvar haya b'matzav shel hitalut shlema, then you would have reached that proper level of completion. And by the way, now you understand, this is the Kabbalistic understanding, why a lot of really great people die at a young age. They're completed. They've fulfilled not only their role, but they'll fulfill their neshama. They don't need this world anymore. And that's why just about all the great Kabbalists didn't even make it to the age of 40. There were one or two that made it past 40, and I always forget who they were, so I don't want to mention names. But look up among the Ramchal, the Arizal, the Shla, even in our generation, Rav Aryeh Kaplan. Right? But most of them didn't live to the age of 40. And she'in imam kvar ya b'matzav shel hitalut shleima, they already reached that level. She'in imam shum chisaron, they don't have any lackings. V'shum afara, notice Rav Kook is differentiating between lacking something and needing to rise. Yeah, you can still rise just like altruism. We mentioned in the past. The Ramchal says this world is based on altruism, which by definition is selfless giving. Now, selfless giving doesn't infer that I was lacking something. It's not that I needed something. When a person is selfless, he just gives and gives and gives more and more. And that's a giving of aliyah, which does not infer. So here too. So Rav Kook is talking about these people. They don't have the chisaron, the lacking. V'shum hafara shel ezet tzad mitzdadei miluy achayim, as we said, ki im chofesh uptur. Again, here's the chorus. They have vacation and exemption min ha'olam. By the way, it's I wanted to bring the source here. It's something that we learned in the past on the Haggadah, where Rav Kook talks about his theme, his major theme in the Haggadah of Pesach, is Chirut, Chofesh. And you have to remember, Rav Kook is corresponding with a generation of Zionists whose goal was Liyot Am Chofshi Ba'artzeinu. The idea to be free. Democracy was shifting into a high gear. Europe was turning democratic. It was clear that the Zionist movement was going to be was democratic. And Rav Kook says, that's great, because Judaism is about free will. Free will is independence. Independence is another way to say, way of saying God. Hashem is totally independent. So Hashem gives us free will to be like Him. So what is Pesach about? Rav Kook explains, why do we need Maror? And why did we need 200 years of bondage in Egypt? Because in this world, we need to achieve that level of freedom from freedom. In order to understand that freedom is not anarchy. Anarchy is very often used for freedom. But if somebody rises to a level that he has that self-discipline that we acquired as slaves, and as Hashem tells us, "Ki li bnei Yisrael avadim, avadayhem asher otzeti otam eretz Mitzrayim." Those 200 years of bondage prepared you for the yoke of mitzvot to learn how to become a free person, how not to be enslaved to your physical and body desires. So that is what Rav Kook talks about in the Haggadah, that the highest level of chofesh, focus well, because now you're going to get a curveball. The highest level of chofesh that we talk about in the Haggadah and in this world is to be so free that you can even free yourself from freedom. Here, Rav Kook is talking about one more level of freedom. To be free from the need to be free from freedom. You got that? So that's for people who have these exemptions and have the vacation. So again, they are so free that they don't even need to be free from the freedom. And they are ready for a higher world. And those people, and here Rav Kook is making shalom, not compromising, but he's mashlim. Combining, uniting the opinion that says that there were tzaddikim who didn't need to die, or didn't die, like Chanoch and Eliyahu, right? That's what you mentioned. And others that say that we all need to die. Rav Kook is saying, well, those people who don't need to die, their death cannot be called death. It's just a transition. Just like their whole life was climbing, climbing, climbing. So now they climb to another place. Right? And it's not a big deal. And again, total vacation. Total freedom. Ve'otoa arafil hadak. Nevertheless, Rav Kook describes that there is a... Arafel is not dusk.
Mist.
What?
Mist.
Mist. Fog. Right. Need somebody from England for that word. Right? There is that thin fog, which even for those people, it will differentiate for them between this world and the next world. Okay? There is. They will see that they're in a new place, right? According to the Kabbalah, they're relatives and their family and the Rebbeim come to greet them. But so there is that little fog, but no big deal. So that's why we do use the word death even for those tzaddikim. Why? Because they have that small mist of differentiating between the worlds. Al ofen aliyata chayim shel hashlemim hakdoshim halalu, which differentiates between the way they advanced in this world, the world of obligations and yokes and trials. Veze garama chetadak, and that is the thin sin. It's not talking about Adam and Chava, but shelefi erkam nechshav lachet. Even the greatest tzaddikim, on their subjective level, they are held accountable. And if you remember, there's like 3 or 4 pages of Mesilat Yesharim on this idea that Yosef didn't sin, but on his level, he's being held accountable. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sin, but on his level, he's held accountable. And Vinokema ala lilotam, a pasuk, that the pshat is totally different. Here, Rav Kook, did you catch what he's doing with this pasuk? Is Vinokema ala lilotam. Hashem is giving vengeance for their falls. What does it mean for their falls? Well, for Moshe Rabbeinu, if he makes even a little slip, for him, he's held accountable. Usvivav nisara me'od. Rav Kook also is suggesting a unique explanation of this pasuk. I just want to, we're running out of time, do source number 2, because it's very clear that Rav Kook has this paragraph of the Ramchal in his mind. By the way, Rav Kook was an unbelievable baki. I actually found in the books of the Ramchal, I found there are certain quotes that Rav Kook quotes, and as he's writing by heart, where he quotes the pasuk in the words of the Ramchal. There are 1 or 2 places where the Ramchal, remember, they didn't have copy-paste, they didn't have computers, you know, used to, and so if you mention a quote of 10 words, sometimes you you shorten it by a word or two. And that's, so the Ramchal does it every now and then, like any author. And Rav Kook, his bikyut of the Ramchal was so great that even when he quotes certain gemarot, sometimes he's quoting them from the Ramchal. Hmm. In other words, that's pretty high level. By the way, that's a chiddush that almost nobody knows, but that's a prize for anybody who joins us. Anyway, so the Ramchal, in source number 2, this is from Derech Hashem, Chelek Aleph, Paragimel, Piskat Tet. V'ulam, milvad kol ze gezera gazra midat dino. Hashem, in midat adin, in his justice, he decreed, Yidbarach shemo, shelo yuchlu lo la'adam velo ha'olam me'ata higia el ha'shlimut. From the time that Adam and Chava fell, we cannot get to completion in this world. That's why, again, everyone needs the next world. Odam v'tzura shenit kalkala. In this world, the way it is, dahainu atzura sheyesh le'machshav, sheban nitraba hara, ele yitztarech lehem be'echreach avur ma'avar ha'hefsed. Dahainu, you know, maybe you just go through this on your own. And not only that, I brought, for those who have the sheets, and we'll put them on up on the websites in Yeshiva, and Beit El, and YU Torah, I thought we'd have time to get into certain sources of that Chazal tell us what happens after a person dies. And because I noticed that everyone's curious about that, and I thought we'd get a chance to do it. Yeah.